Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
Good morning, Regina. How are you?
I'm great. It is a wonderful spring day.
I know. We are liking the weather, as always. We always talk about that.
Yes, and you know this is my favorite time of year, right?
Yes.
And you know what? We always have very interesting people that are doing wonderful things in our community, and I'm always excited about that, right?
Uh-huh. New special guest.
And today is no different. We have in studio with us, I'm going to call them by first name.
Okay. You guys are welcome. Come on.
Sandy. We've also got Dr. Golden, and we've got Sharon that's on phone with us because she had a little challenge of getting here, but that's okay, right? And they're all from High Desert Pace, and I know that people have seen the vans because they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. But today we're going to get a chance to hear what exactly High Desert Pace is, what they do, who they serve, what resources they have. And I'm excited about that, Roxanne, because you know what? The services that they offer are really focused on the senior population here in the High Desert.
We love our seniors here in the High Desert.
Seniors, absolutely. So I'm going to start by having Sandy introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your role and responsibilities there at High Desert Pace.
Sure. My name is Sandy Bannister, and I'm the program director at High Desert Pace. And what that means is that I oversee the daily operations throughout the center, and I partner with Sharon and Dr. Golden on serving our 55 and older seniors.
That's wonderful. And Dr. Golden, so great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having
us. Tell us a little bit about you and your role there.
Sure. So I'm Otashi Golden. I am the Chief Clinical Officer and Medical Director, and I work with this amazing team to make the clinical part of the program run. So it's really a team effort, and we love the High Desert.
Oh, that's wonderful. And then we have Sharon, who is the vice president and executive director. I don't want to steal your thunder, though, Sharon. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role and responsibility at PACE?
Of course. So I just make sure that everything is running as appropriate, making sure that we are compliant with our federal and state guidelines, making sure that we are serving the community in the best way possible, meeting the seniors where they are, and making sure that we are delivering the services that we are required to deliver. I have a great team that supports these endeavors. I can't do it all by myself. But, it's just making sure that we are doing exactly what we need to do every day.
And Sharon, can you tell us, kind of give us an overview of the organization, exactly what you do, and then can you share the mission and the vision behind High Desert Pace?
Right. So we are, PACE is a program for all-inclusive care for the elderly. We serve the 55 and over community. Normally they're underserved. They usually have two or more chronic conditions. Some of them have never had insurance coverage before, or they've had other coverages and not been able to get the care that they've needed. Mm-hmm. We at PACE have an interdisciplinary team. That team consists of Dr. Golden, Sandy, our social work, other providers, as well as dietary, transportation, all of the other 11 different disciplines that we have, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and they actually work together to provide care plans to these seniors. Based on their needs, based on their wishes, and we call them participants and not patients because we actually have them participate in their care. So we want them to be involved. We want them to be engaged so that we can see results from the things that we are able to provide to them, whether it be dietary, physical therapy, occupational therapy, a medical issue, social work, you know, so it's reaching all elements of their life and trying to make them better so that they can live longer in their home. Mm-hmm. That our goal is to help them stay out of the hospital, out of a nursing home, and age comfortably in their home.
Great quality of care. Dr. Golden, I want to ask you, from a clinical perspective, what is the core purpose of the PACE model?
The core purpose for our PACE model is to meet our participants where they are. We do what's called a care plan. And in that care plan, we talk about what are your goals. Mm-hmm. Is your goal to be able to spend more time with your grandchildren? How can we support you with that? Is your goal to lose 10 pounds? How can we support you in that? So that's what's so amazing about PACE. It lets you age, and my favorite song is Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way.
Yes.
You get to do it your way. We're here to support you in doing it your way.
Yeah, wonderful. And so, Sandy, in that, because you're the program director, kind of share with us what that looks like.
As far as supporting the participants?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, like Sharon had mentioned, meeting the participants where they're at, we have these individualized care plans that are made up of all of the interdisciplinary team members with input from their expertise and also the patient wish or participant's wishes. And so from my role, I do participate in the interdisciplinary team and oversee the processes and make sure that we're following all of the compliant components mm-hmm. that we need to in order to meet all of those marks and metrics to carry forward with that.
Yeah, which is hugely important, right? Mm-hmm. Now, who's eligible for PACE?
Is it only for seniors who do not have insurance, or could you have insurance and also be a part of PACE for seniors?
Of course.
Yes, you could. So PACE is the insurance company and the primary care provider. So when you are enrolling with PACE, you may no longer have Medi-Cal or Medicare or, you know, IHSS or some of these other insurances, mm-hmm. And you're enrolling in our health care plan.
Oh, okay.
And our health care plan provides all of these services to you under one roof.
Oh, great. Okay.
Oh, talk mm-hmm. a little bit more about what that looks like. What does that look like when you say under one roof?
So what's amazing, I'll take that one, Sharon. So what's amazing is I can tell you what I did this morning. I went in and saw some participants as a primary care physician.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the dentist is in the building today. So as I was leaving, they were going to see the dentist. And then there was another participant that was actually going further down the hall to see physical therapy. Everything is there. And right about now, those that were there enrolled in the morning are about to have lunch.
Wow.
Before they go home.
Wow. Okay.
So it's very convenient for seniors. Like you said, if they can't, you know, use their transportation, everything is under one roof then, you would say.
And the wonderful part of it is that we also provide transportation.
Yes.
Let's say that we don't, you need to see a cardiologist. Not only will we pick you up from your home and take you to the cardiologist's office, we'll deliver you back home. Mm. Or when you come to the center, we actually pick you up. That's why you see our vans everywhere.
And you know, I was going to ask, I'm glad that you brought that up, because my question is, what unique challenges do seniors that are here in the High Desert face that your organization helps address? And I think transportation is one of those. So can you talk a little bit or share a little bit about what your transportation program looks like?
So as I was saying, the transportation is a huge barrier for a lot of elderly patients. And once you become a participant in High Desert PACE, we take care of those transportation issues by getting you. Many times you miss your specialist appointment because you didn't have transportation available.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some of the gaps that we're able to fill, and the participants love it. Their families love it.
Have you guys seen a growing need in our region for your services?
Yeah, we've seen it.
Go ahead, Sharon.
No, I was going to say every day. You know, there's participants or potential participants, right, that we don't like people to go hungry. So we're making sure that they're fed. There's transportation issues. There's cognitive abilities to even talk about scheduling with a cardiologist or scheduling with, you know, neurology or any of these other types of specialties. And we do that for our participants that are enrolled. We actually schedule those appointments for them,
wow.
and then we take them to those appointments, and then we take them back. So we make sure that whatever we are, Dr. Golden and her team, whatever they are deeming is necessary for the treatment of this person as a whole person, right, that we're making sure that we're making those appointments, we're scheduling them, we're taking them, so that we're involved in every aspect of their care. Also, we provide some home care if they, you know, are having challenges within the home, or maybe there's a child that's now taking care of a parent, and maybe they're working and they just need someone to drop in for a few hours. If our interdisciplinary team determines that that is definitely a need, we will make sure that grandma is eating. We will make sure that grandma is taken care of. With the activities, we make sure that we bring them into the center to participate in our activities so that we're combating social isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of benefits to being in the program. Plus, we do special things like today we have a Walmart day where we're taking, persons who signed up to Walmart. Sometimes we go to Dollar Tree. We go to different places just so that they're able to feel like they're contributing to their own life.
And you know what, Sharon, that all sounds wonderful, and I think you touched on it a little bit, but can you or Dr. Golden or Sandy kind of expand on how do you guys support not just the participants but also their families and caregivers? Because we're seeing a lot of that. I mean, I'm in that season of my life where I'm being a caregiver to my father, right? And so we see a lot of that. Most of my friends and family members, we're all kind of in that same boat. And so how do you kind of support the families, the caregivers?
So we actually have a program where we contract with staffing agencies that can onboard a family member as a caregiver.
Mm.
If a participant wants one of their loved ones to care for them in the home, then we partner and we refer them to that so that they could actually participate and get compensated for their care.
Wow, that's wonderful. Okay, so what outcomes can you share that, you know, there's a participant that came in and joined the program, now they're in the program. And so what are some of the outcomes that you've seen because of the resources, the services that you guys provide?
I'm smiling because I can think of participants that have come in unsuccessfully looking for buying the over-the-counter hearing aids.
Mm.
And then we're able to do an audiology evaluation right in the office, order them custom hearing aids, and they were crying because it was the first time they had heard clearly in years.
In years.
And
wow.
Just to see just those outcomes, to see people that were isolated at home coming to the center, making new friends, just enjoying the center. I mean, every day there's something great
that's happening.
There's something great that happens every day.
Right. And they're able to continue to be independent as well. Right.
And live at home. That is our goal, is to keep you at home.
That's great. So if somebody who's listening and is interested wants to learn more, how can they do that?
We would encourage them to call into our office. Our office number is 760-932-0920. And I'll repeat that again, 760-932-0920. And we would love to talk to you about the program.
Well, thank you. And as we're wrapping up, my question actually is, and I'd love to hear this from each of you, what impact do you hope that High Desert PACE has on our community?
Well, I feel like we've already had a positive impact with the participants that have joined our program, 55 and older, making a difference in their lives. We've seen just a tremendous amount of good stories come out of, you know, being here already. This is the only PACE program in the High Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal really is to make sure that our community knows about the resource and that they have the information available to look into it more.
Yes. And Dr. Golden?
My goal would be to, it with us, is to make sure that the participants, as much as we can do in the community, we love to partner with the community, we love to partner with other specialists, other organizations, just to reach those that need the resource. That's what we're here for.
Great. And Sharon?
I'm all about growth. I think, we've done such a tremendous job with the 250-plus participants that we have now, that we would love to reach, 500 to 1,000 within the next 2 years. So I know that there's an opportunity for that. I feel like there's a great need for that. And we want to be there to provide that service to those that probably don't know about us. So it's getting our name out there, helping them understand what we're about, and just providing the services to more and more individuals.
That's wonderful. And especially as we know, the senior population is growing here in the High Desert. It's great for us to know that this resource exists. Ladies, I'm just, so happy to have spent this time with you. And again, if there are listeners who are interested and want to learn more, maybe come and tour your facility, the number where they can reach out to coordinate something.
Yes, please feel free to reach out anytime to 760-932-0920.
Well, again, Roxanne and I say thank you.
No, this is great.
For spending this time with us. We look forward to you coming back because we know that you're going to be growing and expanding and adding new things to your existing programs. And so feel free to come back so we can share that with community. But thank you for the work that you are doing every day to make sure that our seniors are whole, healthy. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Great. Well, good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
Good morning, Regina. Hope you all enjoying your weekend.
Yeah, it's a beautiful weekend in the High Desert.
Yes, we love it.
Of course, it's spring, and spring, summer, my favorite time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't go wrong.
Yeah, and we have a special guest that we're speaking with again this morning.
You know what? I'm really excited about this lady. I met this lady, I don't even know how many years ago now. Was
probably,
it eight?
It was probably eight. It was... Remember, we came up on when you were with the supervisor, the Trona earthquake.
The Trona earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met at a time of disaster.
Mm. Yeah.
We really did. Okay. And for me, I just kind of bonded with her and have had the privilege to watch her lead an organization that's really thriving in our community. And so I want to welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, Michelle Decker, who is the executive director for the Inland Empire Community Foundation. Michelle,
thank you so much for being with us today.
It's wonderful to have you here. And so let's just kind of dive in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about the organization, and the mission of the organization?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So the Inland Empire Community Foundation this year turns 85 years old.
Wow.
I know. It's been around for a while. It started in 1941 in the city of Riverside.
Oh.
And it started by local business people, Charles Brouse, to provide scholarships to kids at Riverside City Community College.
Mm.
And over the years, it grew a little bit. But then in the 1990s, there was this movement to create community foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And it much more intentionally went from being sort of a trust and just focusing on scholarships to being a true and full nonprofit community foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then in around 2000, it expanded, was asked to expand into the county of San Bernardino.
Mm.
So we are both counties and I think very balanced on our board and on our donors and on our giving. And what we really do five things. We work with donors, families, individuals, businesses, local governments, and we help people do philanthropy. We help people figure out what they want to give to and leave behind permanent assets for the region. We grow that good money that our nonprofits need. Then we get that, we steward that and invest it for the long haul so that the capital is there. And we use the earnings to provide scholarships and grants to nonprofits. There are two other things that we do that I think are really differentiate us in the landscape of community foundations. We don't have lots of community foundations.
That's
We're going to get to that. But in California, and it's those of us who look at policy advocacy and those of us who look at community leadership. So in other words, if we want to solve a problem, community foundations are great at convening people, doing some of the research, supporting, maybe investing in some of the research, finding other models and examples, and bringing people together to talk about and solve some of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two things that I think have been really different since I got here in 2018.
Yeah, so you're now 8 years in, right? What are some of the important updates or milestones for the foundation?
Well, I think one that folks often latch on to is that there has been growth. So when I got here, we were about $100 million. On any given day, I'm not sure what the markets are doing today, but probably our high was about $165 million, so maybe now we're at about $155 million or so. I think the other thing that we've done is we got really clear about who needs our investment and our support, and we did that by working very closely with nonprofit organizations as well as our donors. And our board really rallied, and during our 80th anniversary, we started creating and supporting what we call signature funds, where our board got behind things like our Women's Giving Fund, what was the IE Black Equity Initiative that's now IE MECO, which is regranted in the High Desert. We started the Cielo Fund, which was the first fund to support Latino-led organizations and communities. That got up to $3 million and has granted roughly half of that or a little bit less in grants and scholarships. And they're now moving towards an endowed fund, which we can talk about the difference between endowed and non-endowed. I think we also got very busy early on to make sure in a region where we have too few philanthropic dollars, and we really do compared to the coast. There are numbers that we use, so about $37 per capita in the IE, Riverside and San Bernardino total again. And then in LA, you're at about 270, 271. Yeah. And if you're up in the Bay Area, you're
huge
over
disparity.
700.
Yeah.
Huge disparity. So we talk a lot about a culture of philanthropy, both with donors, but also with other foundations. And we've partnered with the state to bring in things like Creative Corps, money that also came up to High Desert. Work with GoBiz on the California Jobs First investment. We worked with the state and private foundations on census investment in 2020. And that was really our toehold to say, we can manage these state dollars because our groups need them.
Right.
So we can't just sit around and wait until someone shows up for the money. We're working with the Regional Forest Department of Conservation, Regional Forest and Fire Capacity Funding, partnering with San Bernardino because you've got the IERCD. We're helping build capacity in Riverside and some of the desert in San Bernardino so that those, forest fire dollars get into the region.
Yes.
Because we didn't have the capacity to take some of those bigger dollars. So I think that's been a marked shift. And maybe last thing I would say is there, a few years ago, I think most people were sending their money somewhere else. They weren't leaving it in the IE.
That's right.
They were leaving some with us, and we were really grateful. But increasingly, people are now seeing that we can handle larger sums and larger bequests. And I'm excited about that because when someone comes to us and says, I care about these organizations or I care about these causes or I care about these kids who are trying to graduate, we can fund that forever.
Right.
We are in perpetuity, and we can make their passion, we say, making donor dreams come true, And so it's exciting that folks are starting to understand both that we need these resources, where we need these resources, and that they have a partner to put them to good use.
Yeah, and with that, Michelle, I want to ask you, especially I'm sure our listeners are interested in the impact that work that you're talking about and those resources that have come into the county, the impact because of the work that you have done and the organization has had on the High Desert. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can. And I do want to just mention, Regina, we have had, since 2012, a partnership with the High Desert Community Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a community foundation in this area. We support them with some back office functionality, right? So some of the funds are on our books, but also a partnership. We're both part of the League of California Community Foundations. And so that partnership has been really good. Your endowed funds with us have, given out about $800,000,
mm-hmm,
since we've had those funds, but the endowments have also grown.
Right.
So you've actually increased those endowments.
Right.
And I'm really proud of that stewardship.
And that's all through the High Desert Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. And thank you for bringing that up. And I know recently we were having a conversation and you shared a number of the impact that had been made here and invested here in the High Desert. Can you share that?
It's almost $9 million, probably, since the early 2000s. And that comes from generous individuals, the Wilmus Charitable Trust, but it also comes from some of those signature funds, mm-hmm, that I mentioned, like the IE Mecca Fund, Creative Core, California Jobs First. We have also partnered for many years with Academy for Grassroots Organizations,
yes,
and
Debbie
supported
Cannon,
them.
Yes.
Yeah, and manage their funds that are then operating funds for their work. I'm really proud of that. I didn't know that number was going to be that big because I asked the staff to run it. And, you know, I think in this part of the world, we're smart about using money well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have a lot of bloat in our organizations. I think they run lean.
Mm-hmm.
And so these aren't, by and large, big grants either,
right,
Regina, Roxanne. Mm-hmm. These are, you know, $20,000, $15,000,
$10,000.
And, you know, occasionally you'll see a big one that came maybe through a state grant. The other thing maybe to mention is we handle the CARES and the ARPA dollars. We handle the CARES dollars,
mm-hmm,
for both counties. And, you know, those were small bits of money, but they kept folks going,
right,
at a time when they didn't know if they could. And maybe just to note to our listeners, you know, I always say this to folks, be generous. You know, let's go High Desert.
Yes. Thank you, Michelle. And I hope that we'll have you back, mm-hmm, at some point in the future because there's so much that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to share that information with community because a lot of times we don't necessarily get to hear that.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And so I really appreciate you being here today to share that information about what is happening in the realm of philanthropy and how your organization over these, what, 81 years?
85.
This is going to be the 85th.
Oh, my God.
And we're going to have some fun with it. We're rolling it out, not till September, but we're rolling it out.
Let
we're
us
have
know
fun.
About it.
Yeah.
Yes.
We will.
If it's
so
open
come
to
back
the public,
and share
yes.
that. But over 85 years, and those who know me, and I'm just really transparent, I'm always so excited when we are women-led. So thank you. Thank you.
thank you.
So look forward to having you with us again, and thank you for sharing all you've done today.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.